Last week, we looked at our giving father, and I talked about how God's words and his actions line up, and how he is always, he loves us, and the great attribute of his love is giving. And when we learn, or when we understand to the best of our ability how loving and giving God is, then we also remember how forgiving and how gracious and merciful he is. And when we understand that, the more we understand that, the more thankful we should be. And we will be. So we're going to go to Psalm 103, and that's where we're going to be. So you're not going to be challenged by finding books in obscure verses. And this is such a great verse, and it's a Psalm of David. And, you know, obviously it's written in the Old Testament, so you have to keep that in mind and all that Christ has accomplished for us, but it's still the same God, right? God says in Malachi, I am the Lord, I change not. So, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And the word bless here in the Old Testament really means to honor or an act of respect and adoration. We're to honor God and respect God and love him. Then if you hold your place there, go to the end of the chapter. And it says in verse 22, bless the Lord. See, so it starts with bless the Lord, and it ends with the bless the Lord. So that tells you what. That's what we're supposed to do. We're to honor God and respect God in our hearts. He needs to have a special place. And if he has a special place, certainly his word has a special place. So it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. You know, we're to respect and honor God in all we have, in all that we are. Then it says in verse 2, well, let me just say this. As we read through this psalm, it's going to tell us why we are to bless the Lord. It's going to give us the reasons. Because in verse 2 it says, bless the Lord again. Yeah, so bless the Lord, O my soul, my life, you know what soul means, and forget not all his benefits. And it could read, forget not any of his benefits. You know, so, you know, I remember hearing it taught, well, forget not all his benefits, meaning, well, you can't remember them all, but here it could read any of his benefits. It means you're supposed to try and remember them. Remember all of them, or as many as you can. Now, in the verses that following, we'll see these benefits and why we should bless the Lord. And the first verse is what? Forgive. Who forgiveth? Who is referring to? God, the Lord. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Now, this is in the Old Testament. Certainly in Christ Jesus, it says what? We're forgiven, right? We just sang it. You know, we are forgiven. Sometimes we don't think we're forgiven. Or we think we got to work to get that forgiveness. Or we got to do something to get that forgiveness. Or we have to atone for our mistakes. But we don't. We just have to receive and accept that forgiveness. What a great thing. It says, forgives all our iniquities, which means wickedness or perverseness. Many times this is an association with idolatry. You know, now we think of idolatry as, you know, in the Old Testament, certainly all these different places and cultures had idols. They had idols of stone or wood or gold or silver or, you know, all anything they could make an idol out of, they would make it. And we think, well, we don't do that today. Well, actually, a lot of people still today do worship idols and make idols out of all kinds of things. They have icons and they have pictures and they have shrines, and not just Hindus or Buddhists, but Christians also, you know. But it's more than that. It could be anything in life that takes precedence over God. Anything. You know, we were talking, I was talking this morning with Michelle and Jim before everybody came about watching the World Series, you know, and I, you know, I used to listen to the sports talk radio sometimes because I was drive a lot. And, you know, when somebody's team would lose the World Series or the Super Bowl or the championship, you know, my life is over. You know, my year is ruined. You know, how stupid. You know, and people put so much emphasis on this. It's entertainment. How about entertainers? You know? People idolize famous celebrities and entertainers. Why? They're just people. And when you dig into their life, they're usually not such great people. Just saying. Who knows? Some of them might be nice. But it says here, he forgives all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. You know, if it was just these two things alone, that would be a lot to be thankful for. And it would be a lot to respect and adore and honor God for. And it would be worth it just to be thankful for those two things. But it goes on. And in verse 4 it says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Wow. And destruction means corruption or a destroyer. The effects of divine justice which ruin life, but not resulting in death. That's what it means, destruction. But redeems means what? To free by repaying or avenging as a kinsman redeemer. Mm-hmm. And we remember, you know, Jesus Christ redeemed us, right? Mm-hmm. We have redemption in Jesus Christ. And redemption and forgiveness are closely aligned. You know, they mean similar things. You know, God redeems us because he's forgiven us, right? He pays for those sins. He pays for those shortcomings or those iniquities. So he redeems us. Who? The Lord redeems us. What a great thing. And then it says, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. How sweet and wonderful. Because God loves us. And he gives, right? He's a giver. And it says here, he crowns us. What does it mean to crown? It's like, you know, you're set apart. You're getting a reward. You're special, right? Or it could mean you're compassed with something, you know, because it compasses your head. It can mean those two things. So here it says, crowns us, or crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Loving kindness and tender mercies. So a crown also could be a sign of dignity. You know, God gives us that. He gives us that worth that we don't have when he puts that crown on us. He crowns us with loving kindness, with compassion, and with gentle pity. That's what that could mean. That's how much he loves us. These two things, loving kindness and tender mercies, are similar in meaning, which gives it even more emphasis, right? They're similar. They're not necessarily synonymous, but they're similar in what they talk about. You know, so God crowns us with his loving kindness, with his compassion, with his gentle pity. And then verse 6 says, and the Lord, again, the Lord, Jehovah, executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He accomplishes, the word execute means to accomplish. He accomplishes rightness or justice. That's what he does. He's a righteous or just God, and he executes that in right judgment. You know, he never judges us falsely or accuses us falsely or is not fair and equitable in his judgments. But he's always fair to us. And He always wants to steer us in the right way, doesn't he? Now, in the Old Testament, you know, a lot of the things that he told Israel and blessed them with were qualified. There were not strings attached, but he said, you know, he was honest. He said, you know, if you obey me, if you trust me, if you do my word, you're going to get really blessed. And if you don't, you're going to suffer the consequences. And he laid it out for them, didn't he? You know, and they could lose everything that God gave them. Conversely, God has given us sonship, right? And eternal life. He put his Holy Spirit within us, which we can never lose no matter what. There's no qualifications to that. There's no anything about it. We have it forever. It's incorruptible seed. It's ours forever. And he lays that out there for us for encouragement, for love, for, you know, letting us know what he's going to do for us. You know, now if we do screw up or we turn our back on God, you know, it makes it more difficult for him to bless us, doesn't it? But it's not that he doesn't want to, and it's not that he doesn't want to prosper us and keep us healthy and bless us, but it's up to us to, again, fight for that word in our lives. Because why? The devil wants to trick us. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal God's blessings from us. He wants to corrupt our minds and make us doubt God. So God executes righteousness and judgment for all those that are oppressed. So when we turn our back on God, it's easy to get oppressed, isn't it? And depressed and everything else. So verse 7, he, you know, it's interesting here. It references God in the beginning of each verse. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. He did. He made them known, right? He didn't hide anything. He was honest and straightforward in all he would do for them and all that their responsibility was. And he's that way with us today still. You know, he tells us what he's done for us. You know, you go through the book of Romans and it's really concerned with what God has done for us through his son, Christ Jesus, and what Jesus Christ accomplished for us so that we have access, that we are no longer in condemnation, that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And then he tells us, you know, that we're to renew our minds, right? And we're to be active in the body of Christ and to be blessed and gives us all those things that he wants us to do to walk with him. So it's pretty great. Then in verse 8, it says the Lord, again, the Lord is who it's talking about, is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. So merciful. Merciful means compassionate and pitiful, but extending his help to us. You know, like a lot of times, I remember when I was a kid, there was a church, a hospital in Long Island called Mercy Hospital, right? You know, and a lot of times the word mercy is used by charities or, you know, church-type charities and stuff. Well, it's offering help, right? Well, God is merciful. God's mercy is extended to us. He wants to help us. It says the Lord is merciful. He's merciful and he's what? Gracious, which is, you know, his free and spontaneous willingness to bestow good by the way of his kindness and favor. Right? It's by his free will. He's not under the gun. He's not threatened if he doesn't do good to us. He does it because he loves us. Free will. He shows that favor, which we don't deserve, but he's merciful. He wants to extend his help, and he wants to show that favor to us. And it's because he loves us, that's all. It's just by his free will. You know, we don't have to beg him for it. We don't have to try to bribe them for it. You know, okay, God, if you help me with this, I'm going to really be the best person for you, and I'm going to go out and witness, and I'm going to do this and this and that. You know, it doesn't work like that, does it? It's just God loves us, and so when we understand that love, then we become thankful. You know, we're thankful. What a great thing. But, you know, you just got to put in your brain what a great and loving and good God you are, because, again, the world's trying to rip that out of your heart and your mind and tell you he's not, or that you're not worthy. We should have sung that song. Yeah. But we are worthy because God made us worthy when we believed. Mercy and grace are used together much or a lot in the Word of God, often. They are two great attributes of God showing his undeserved favor and love towards his people and his desire to overlook our faults, but instead extend his compassion and his help and his deliverance. You know, mercy and grace, they go together. Dr. Earle used to describe it as mercy not getting what you deserve and grace getting what you don't deserve, you know, which was his love. But it's even more than that because God extends his love with that mercy. And that grace is that, you know, he does it even though we don't deserve it, you know. It's like sometimes my wife makes me a special meal and I don't deserve it, but she makes it anyway. Wow, what a great thing, you know. Like, for my birthday, she said, okay, what kind of cake or pie do you want? I'll make it from scratch. And then she figures it all out and slaves away for a couple of hours. What a cool thing. See, God doesn't have to slave, though, does he? He just does it because he loves us. He just does those things. He extends that compassion, that pity, and that help to us just because it's what he does. That's who he is. Because he's a forgiving father, and you know, no matter what we do, he's ready, willing, and able to forgive. What a great thing. Verse 9, he will not always chide, neither will keep his anger forever. You know, and that's not the way we speak normally in our day and time, is it? The NIV translate this, he will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. The word chide means to contend, strive, debate, or dispute. You know, God doesn't really dispute with us. You know, what he says is, and what he says will be. What he says was. You know, there's a verse in Malachi where God says, why are you contending with me? You know, why do you guys, and he's speaking to Israel, he says, why do you want to argue with me? You know, why would we want to argue with God? He's got all the answers. He's the one that blesses us. He's the one that takes care of us. So why argue with him? Remember Abraham? He said, okay, God, well, you know, if there's 50 righteous in the city, will you destroy it? He didn't really contend, but he was trying to work God and manipulate. And God was very loving towards him, wasn't he? He said, well, yeah, if there's 50, I won't destroy the city. And then he works them down to 10. He says, well, if there's 10, I won't. But there wasn't 10, right? There was the only righteous person in the city was Lot, you know. And Lot and his two daughters and his wife got out alive. I don't know if his daughters were righteous or his wife, but Lot was. And he got out, but everybody else got destroyed. So he will not always chide. Or he will not always accuse, nor will harbor his anger forever. Verse 10, he hath not dealt with us after our sins. And the NIV says, he does not treat us as our sins deserve. What a great translation that is. He will not treat us as our sins deserve. Why? Because he's gracious and merciful. Wow, I'm thankful he's gracious and merciful, because some of my sins deserve what? Death, you know, or torture. They do. I'm glad to admit it.
What are you doing?
Huh? He hath not dealt with us after our sins. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. This points out again his grace, mercy, and forgiveness. How great our God. Then it goes on to say, for nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Which means what? Punishment. Punishment. He doesn't punish us because of our perverseness, our wickedness, our sinfulness. He doesn't do that. And you know, so much of religion has to do with what? Punishment and reward. You know? It's almost like training a dog. But God, really, his word is all about reward. You know? You just do what God says, you get blessed. You just keep that word in your mind and things will, you know, you'll be blessed. You'll stay peaceful. You'll stay excited about him and happy in life. Yeah. Greg Earle said that last Monday about how he's always happy because he thinks about the word. And I thought about that. And I said, yeah. You know, and if you're not happy, why not? The word gives you the formula for being happy. Put God first. You know, one of the uses of the word blessed in places is happy is the man, right? Blessed is the man. And it always has to do with putting God in your life first. When you put God in your life first, you should be happy. And then if you renew your mind, you should be happy. And you can renew your mind and say, well, I should be happy. Why aren't I? You know, no matter what. Because you're blessed all the time. So he will not repay us, the NIV says, according to our iniquities. God has never punished man to the extent he deserved. He overlooks, he lets it go without retribution. Now, there were times in the Old Testament where there was retribution, where people were totally evil, but not his people. You know, and his people, if they turned back to him, what did he do? Took them back. When if we turn our back on God and do something stupid, when we turn back, what does he do? He takes care of us. He forgives us and we move on. You know, it's just that simple. Verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. You know, and as we respect and honor God, as we love God in our hearts, what does it say? His mercy, his help, his compassion towards us is how high is the heaven above the earth? I looked up on the internet, which you can't really trust, but I did Siri. I said, you know, what's the furthest extent of the universe, which is the heaven, right? Anything above the earth is the heaven or the heavens. And so it gives you an estimate of 46.5 light years to the end of the universe, which I forget how many billions of miles or trillions of miles. But 46.5 light years is how far you could travel at the speed of light, which is an impossibility, right? I mean, how long did it take them to get to the moon, which is 250,000 miles? A couple of days, 3-4 days. You know, how long did it take that stupid thing they shot out to Mars? It took months. You know, we can't go, even when we go faster than the speed of light, not the speed of light, speed of sound, it still takes a long time to get somewhere. But that's how far God has put away our stuff, or that's how great his mercy is towards them that honor him or respect him. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And how far is the east from the west? Well, they never meet. But as great as that is, and he did that for Israel, what about us? When we get born again, what does it say? Our sins are remiss. They're washed away. We're clean. It says we're holy and without blame before him in love. So it's even better than the east from the west. Even better. Because there's not even any... You know, if you were a kid, you know, like you get in trouble before you're 18 and they'll expunge your record, right? Or they'll seal it up so there's no record of what you did wrong. You know, if even if you commit a felony, sometimes you can work it off and it gets sealed, so it's not on your record. So you can, you know, you don't have to deal with it when you go out into the world. God's done better than it. He's totally destroyed our record of crime and disaster. You know, he's just wiped it clean. He's wiped it clean. You know, I remember, you remember when you're a kid, well, maybe some of you do, some of you don't. When I was a kid, we had blackboards, right, with chalk. And, you know, the teacher would, you know, take the eraser, but that dust was always left on the blackboard. And then if you were a rotten kid or a teacher's pet, one or the other, they would send you to the bathroom with a sponge and you'd come back and you'd wash it clean and it would be clean again. You know, well, you know, our sins are not erased so that there's residue. They're washed clean. There's nothing left. What a cool thing to think about. We're holy and without blame before him in love. Wow, what a great thing. Verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him or respect him. And the word pity there is love. It's the word love. As a father loveth his children. He loves us. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. You know, he knows what we're made of. How does he know that? He made us. That's why. He remembers our frame. He knows we have weaknesses. He knows we're not perfect, you know, in the physical body and soul life. But he has made us perfect because he put his spirit within us. What a great thing. Man, we should be always thankful. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. Wow, his mercy, his love and grace and his help is forever. Everlasting to everlasting. It's forever. It never ends. It never stops. He never runs out. He never runs out. How about that? And his righteousness unto children's children. And not only do we get blessed, but our children get blessed and their children get blessed. You know, even if they're crappy, they get blessed. Because he loves us. You know, that's pretty cool when you think about it. Because, you know, there's no guarantee of where a kid's going to go or what he's going to do. You could be the greatest parent in the world and they could still walk away. You could be the worst parent in the world and they could believe. You know, it tells us that in the Word. It just says that we're to raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. But if we believe and we walk with God, our kids get blessed and our grandkids get blessed. You know, it passes down to generations. And why not? You know, sin passed from generation to generation, didn't it? Why wouldn't God's blessings? To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Now, keep his covenant. What? His words, right? His covenant, his promises to us. You know, when we keep his covenant, when we keep his word, and we do his word, he's prepared for us. Well, we've believed in his, in the Lord Jesus Christ, his word, the word in the flesh, and we are assured that we are citizens in the heavenlies. We are seated at the right hand of God with Jesus Christ, and we'll ever be with the Lord. So he's prepared that for us. So no matter what crap we go through in life, we have that assurance, that promise. You know, it says in Romans 8:18 that I reckon that the sufferings of this present time shall not be worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. You know, so whenever you get depressed, whenever you get, oh man, this is crappy, think about that. It's not even worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. What a great thought. That'll keep you thankful. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens. You know, his throne, you can read in Revelation, it talks about the throne. You know, John went before the throne and the brightness and the seraphims and all that stuff and the cherubims and the elders worshiping God and how awesome. And you know, we're going to be there. We're going to see that. We're going to be in the presence of God Almighty. Then it says again, bless the Lord, honor Jehovah, have great respect, adore him. Ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts. And that's us. We're his hosts. You know, we're included with the angels. We're included with all of creation in that respect. Bless ye the Lord, all ye hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. And you know, it says in Philippians what? It is God that worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. You know, we're to do his pleasure. And then it finishes in verse 22, bless the Lord all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You know, with all you have, you are to respect and love God. That's what we are to do. You know, this all has to do with God's love and forgiveness. Grace, mercy, redemption, justice, righteousness, all have to do with God's forgiveness to us and his love for us and his giving to us. And let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to close there. That's just such a great psalm. What a great thing to think about, how great God is towards us and how he loves us and wants to take care of us and wants to bless us. And Psalm 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, what does it say? It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So as you put that word in your heart and your life, as you fight for that word in your life, as you keep remembering how giving and loving and gracious and merciful and everything else that God is, you know, it's got to make you thankful. And that's where you should be all the time. You should be thankful because he is just, you know, his mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. It never stops. His grace never stops. His blessings never stop. He's always looking to bless us and help us and love us. And we just got to put his word in our brain and keep moving forward. And you know, sometimes we need deliverance or we need help and we stop short. You know, you get afraid or you stop short. Well, you know, work your mind, fight for that word in your life and don't stop short. You know, because his deliverance could be the next step, right? He could be the next second. God is always there doing his best for us. That's why he sent his son, so that he could make all these things available to us. So, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for how we can bless you and honor you and respect you because you are such a loving God. You are so giving and caring and kind and gracious. How you just fight for us all the time. And that if we just fight for that word in our minds, we're going to see great deliverance. We're going to see great things happen. We're going to be blessed. We're going to be thankful. We're going to be joyful. And we're going to just be great witnesses to the world of what a great God you are and a great Father. And we will honor your Son, Jesus Christ, for all he did for us. And people will want to have that greatness in their lives too. So we just thank you for allowing us to be your children, to be able to bless you and love you and approach you and come to the throne of grace in time of need. So we just thank you for those things, God, in the name of your wonderful Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.